Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit.
And we're back.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 7.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
I think it's episode 7.
I never knew in the first place.
We took last week off.
Last week sucked.
So we're back and
ready to rumble.
We're ready to go, I think. We're both having coffee. Mine is kind of old, though.
Mine is not. I don't drink old coffee like a weirdo.
I really like old coffee, actually. I really do.
So our check-in topic is going to be about...
Old coffee
and our other check-in topics. So I think from here on out, our check-in topics are going to be like anything, really. I know we've been kind of doing anything, but we've always kind of grounded it back to eating disorder recovery and not drinking. And I think we're just going to like keep it broad and rock it out. And this check-in topic is going to be, like, about our shitty week last week, isn't it? Or, like, how we took a mental health break and how you always need to take a mental health break if you need to, I guess.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think enough people, appreciate mental health breaks, either for themselves or for other people. Maybe it's not so much for, like, they don't appreciate it for other people, and that might be me projecting, because whenever I take a break, I always get really, really nervous about how people are going to react to me taking that break, if they're going to be like, oh, she's a slacker, or she's not working hard enough, I know that I'm not alone in that. I know that there are other people in my life who feel similarly, but I also have other people who never feel guilty for taking breaks. And I think I need to be more like that.
Yeah, like more like me. No, that's like a lie, because I was just talking in the car ride about how I never take really many vacations anymore, or I used to not, and now I'm slowly like, nope, I gotta take way more.
Mm-hmm.
So newsflash, I'm taking more vacations. If Corona's taught me anything, it's take more vacations. Well, not like during COVID, but...
Right, but like to maximize the time that you have.
Yeah, I don't want to work that hard.
Well, not about like not working hard, but like you said before, Maggie and I were having a conversation and before she said something like, I want to work to live, not live to work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people...
have the opposite.
I
don't know if you remember, there was a Super Bowl commercial like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was the guy, the white-haired guy from the Desperate Housewives, and it was a Cadillac commercial. And he's pretty much like, Americans don't take breaks. That's for Europeans. We work hard. Work hard, make money, never take breaks, buy a Cadillac. And it was like this ridiculous idea of like, we need to work our bones to dust in order to be a functioning person in society.
Or a worthy person in society.
And it's just so stupid. Like, I want a fucking siesta in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I pretty much did that to myself, for myself now after Corona. I'm like, hour lunch break scheduled every day. See ya.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great. And like, even that, like, even with just like little minor adjustments, I feel like my quality of life like shot up since going back to work compared to when I was working, where no breaks, like a few days I like don't even have time to go to the bathroom. So it's nice to put myself first now. And if you hear my cat, he's sequestered in the room for now.
That way we can record.
Or he'll start jumping all over the place.
And making a lot of noise with the microphone. And so he might even try to eat it.
He's calling for help. So if you're listening, he needs you.
Don't say that. Because not everybody knows us.
Yeah, yeah.
They might think that we actually abuse this cat. We don't abuse this cat. We love this cat.
Oh my god, he's such a brat. And he just got fed eggs for breakfast.
Yeah, he just got fed, so I don't know what he's upset about, but clearly he wants to be enough.
He has a lot of things to say about this topic of relaxing and giving yourself a break. He's all about that life.
Ooh, yes.
He's like, wait, I sleep 20 hours a day. Also, he eats a lot of food. So I was looking at our computer, and it looked like it paused. No, we don't have to cut that out. Keep going.
Okay.
He also eats a lot of food on the counter, and he eats the weirdest stuff. So if there's any sort of food on the counter, which there is, he can't be out because he's a maniac. Yesterday, he tried to bite into a package of fresh mozzarella, and I grabbed the package, and I was holding him up like a dog from the, and he wouldn't let go with his mouth. It was pretty funny. Also very destructive. Yeah, he's a mess. He likes to eat.
But he's very cuddly. Oh my goodness.
I know. That's pretty funny.
Okay.
But woo! So we decided to take a break last week. Mm-hmm. We both looked at each other. Well, like Sunday we had a day for you and I, and we went out and we hung out and we got home, and you looked at me and you're like, "Do you want to do it?" I was like, "No, I don't want to do it." Or whatever day it was, I can't remember. And I think we decided to skip it this week. We both weren't really feeling great.
Well, Tuesday was supposed to be the day that we recorded in the evening. And Tuesday of last week was a really tough day for me. Just in terms of the day being so open. And I didn't really have much to... Or it's not that I don't have much to fill my time, because I have like a lot of different options. I could do yoga, I could go for a walk outside, I could knit, I could watch TV, I could hang out with Tybee because he's clawing at the door and wants attention.
But sometimes you don't want to do that stuff. Sometimes you just like...
Well, not only that, it's sometimes I find that when I have so many options, I don't know where to start, and then I just shut down and I don't do anything.
Yeah.
And on top of returning to work, which on Tuesday of last week, I didn't really have a lot of guidance, or at least I felt like I didn't have a lot of answers or a lot of understanding about what returning to work would look like. It was just sort of this day where really nothing got done, and my mood was really, really low, and I didn't feel up to recording, honestly. So I asked Maggie if we could skip, and she said yes, of course, and that's what we did. And I felt kind of guilty, but also relieved that I didn't have to log on and try to think of something interesting and witty and thought-provoking to say.
Because if we are anything, we're thought-provoking.
But, like, I just didn't have it in me last week to get off my butt and try to make sense out of this thing that is mental health, wellness, and recovery. So thank you for understanding that we just needed a little time off, and we really appreciate that nobody gave us any shit about it, which I didn't think anybody was.
I got a lot of shit.
No.
So much all day.
Stop it. You're making me feel guilty right now. Like, stop.
No, I didn't get any shit.
Like, I know rationally that wasn't going to be the outcome. I knew that there wasn't a single person who was going to write in. Could you not do that right now? She just clicked a pen. Which,
that's the fanciest pen I've ever seen in my life.
It's a nice pen, but did you have to do it when the microphone is right here?
All
right,
one more time. Ah, this is a beautiful pen, babe.
Put it away, please.
This is my problems with ADD. Can I have this pen?
You can absolutely have that pen, but please don't look at it right now.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off with the pen click.
I don't even remember what I was talking about now.
But I really think that the crime and the punishment, or not, the reaction to the crime was very,
because a few weeks ago when we were recording, I know you had scissors and you were like cutting a thread off of your pants and it's like, but the mic is right here.
I need something to do with my hands. Give me something. We don't have anything, so I'm just going to continue to click this pen.
Oh my goodness. This is the quality content you signed up for, folks.
All right, here you go.
Yeah, I'm taking this away from you. You can have it when you're ready to show that you're responsible. Ow, are you kidding?
She made me laugh so hard today, I cried. And I think I'm still, like, on that high.
I love when you cry when you laugh.
That was a legitimate cry. I wasn't sure if I was sad or happy.
Wipe your tears. And you looked, like, sad, like you were crying sadly, but then also laughing. I love laughing until I cry. That's another thing that I'm, like...
One time I was feeding Tybee pizza, and he bit me so hard that I was crying in pain, and I was laughing at the fact that I was crying in pain, because I haven't cried in pain, like, ever in my life. I've, like, broken wrists, broken a nose, done all this stuff, and I've never cried, but this, for some reason, hurt so bad that I cried in pain, and then I was laughing at myself.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so. I don't know where you were. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off with the pen.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I think we were.
We were bitching about last week, is essentially what we were doing.
But,
last week sucked. But yeah, no.
I forget what I was saying. It's all right, though. It's
I just
fine.
Think that, like, we, like, if we're going to run this mental health pod, we owe it to ourselves to exercise, God, you're so much smarter than me. exercise, like, practice in, like,
I know what you're saying.
Our own mental health, sure. Which, like, we weren't up for it last week, and I was not, like, I was going through my own stuff.
We can't be like, hey, everybody, then, welcome
yeah,
to
toxic, what's it called? Toxic positivity.
Oh, like, yeah, like,
working through this bullshit, everything's gonna be fine. I hate that. God, I hate that.
I know. It's very invalidating.
Sometimes when I'm, like, venting, just tell me, like, yeah, the world is going to end, Maggie, and that really sucks. Don't be like, everything's gonna be great. Shut up. Shut up. I'm going through my own shit right now, to be honest with you. I'm so tired of everybody. I'm tired of the COVID stuff. Not tired of, like, the precautions we have to take. I'm tired of people being tired of the precautions we have to take.
Yep.
Like, Jesus, fuck. All right, listen, listeners. I'm taking a hot take right now because it's our check-in and I'm freeballing.
Okay, go.
This is what made me crazy last week and so angry, and I was just so tired and, like, exhausted of being mad. Wear a fucking mask, right? It's not that hard. Just wear it. And stop bitching about it. Because I have to tell you, like, out of the, like, I don't know, what's 17 times 5? Almost, yeah, we're both not
I want to cut out how long it took for me to figure that out.
Hey, Siri, what's 17 times 5? I had almost, like, 85 people last week complaining to me about the masks and, like, how this COVID stuff's overblown. I'm so tired of hearing it. If you're listening and you've said that to me, please shut the fuck up. I'm not. I'm like, you're driving me to drink is what I want to tell you. Like, you're the reason one day I'm going to take a shot. That's not true at all.
No, please. You can't put it on other people. That's all on you if you choose to do that.
Yeah, that is true. That's me coping with people's stupidity, and I'm losing my ability to. But, oh well. That was your public service announcement, your public health service announcement from Maggie at Show Yourself. Wear a fucking mask. Don't show yourself. And you know what? Everyone's a lot better looking when they cover half their face. I've never been hotter in my entire life.
That's not true. Very cute.
No, but like from the nose up, for sure, definitely very definitely good looking. From the nose down, I'm like, that's where the points go.
No.
I think so.
No. But like, I definitely feel mysterious in my mask. Ooh. Like, I feel like a ninja if mm-hmm. I'm wearing my solid black mask. Like, ooh, tomorrow yeah. I go back to work. And I'm going to have a lot of cleaning and stuff to do. So I'm probably going to wear black leggings, a black t-shirt, and a black scrunchie.
Oh, you're going to be...
and a solid black
mask. Oh, so your outfit right now?
Yes, pretty much, because I'm wearing all black.
I think you're going to wear the same thing.
No, not this.
I think you should. Make a statement. I try to get masks that match my barber smocks. So I'm always going in color coordinated.
That would be a dope.
That was
awful.
Horrible.
You know what I was
saying? I'm embarrassed for you.
You know what I was going for? I was going for like a Porky Pig, but a cool Porky Pig.
I know
pig.
What you were going for. The listeners don't. We have an inside joke in the house where we live. Inside a house where we that's all folks, but we do it so bad. And then we were watching the lady who does Porky Pig say that she does like the stutter with a word you think she's gonna say, and then she switches it up to a different word that means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your intention with that one?
I have no clue.
Dope. Like, horrible.
You know what it was like? I started the car, but there was no gas. I floored it anyway, just to see what would happen.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
So that's the check-in topic, everybody.
I hope you enjoy. This is the new route we're taking.
Oh my gosh!
I would like to note that she changed her car's oil a few weeks ago.
That was like months ago at this point.
Whatever.
I'm probably due for another change.
Well, I changed your oil, and you changed my oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so now you know more about cars.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What does that have anything to do with anything?
Yes.
Nothing. I just wanted to brag about how you changed your own oil.
Okay. Cool.
Good job.
We both went for the high five at the same time. Oh, boy. We're spending too much time together.
Shoot, man. Are you going back to work?
Oh! How dare you? How dare you?
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get to the questions. All I don't right. know what the main thing of that check-in topic was, but
I think
we've been checked in.
This was all to say thank you for
your patience,
for your grace in just letting us kind of have the week to ourselves. We haven't been doing this very long, so in a way I was like, I don't think I really earned this mental health day. I guess we both needed it, you know, so thank you for that. And the other part of this check-in topic was wear your mask, which I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably are. But anyway. All right. So on that lovely note, we're going to get into our first letter of the day. This comes from A from the North Fork/New York City. And A writes, I also struggle with an eating disorder and substances, exacerbated by my profession and my most recent dumpster fire of a relationship where I was emotionally curb-stomped and lost a pregnancy. Finding my recovery has been a challenge, to say the least. Just curious to know what coping mechanisms or strategies you've collected through your own recoveries. What's worked, what hasn't? Some days, I feel like I'm making progress. Other days, just really suck. Also, how do you handle family or friends who aren't in recovery? Thank you so much for putting this together. It's appreciated. Much love. Thank you, A, so much for writing. We first want to just start off by saying that we're really, really sorry that you went through all of that you've mentioned in your letter, from your relationship to the loss of a child, that is all really, really challenging. And we see you, and you didn't deserve to have that experience in your relationship, and you don't deserve to struggle with substances or your eating disorder. Like, none of that is your fault. And we just wanted to extend our love and compassion to you in that way first. There's a lot that kind of goes into this question, and I almost want to take a pause on the coping mechanisms part right now. And that's not to say that, like, you wrote too much. It's only because we had another letter that we're saving for next week that spoke about coping mechanisms, or asked about spoken, oh my God, that wasn't English, that asked about coping mechanisms. So I want to hold off on the coping part of your letter for next time, but I definitely want to speak to the family or friends who aren't in recovery, because I think that's a really important and a really challenging part of the recovery journey, is seeing other people who may have a similar struggle to you, but don't seek the same or similar supports that you are seeking out actively. So what do you think, Maggie? Because I've done a lot of talking so far, so I'm
You're doing a great job.
I was like, I feel like I'm hogging the mic.
No, so it's all right.
I wanted to open this up a little bit more.
It's, and I'll come at it from like a positive. You know, I have someone in my life that has made the decision to stop drinking, which was a huge surprise, but also great and necessary.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud. I hope that he sticks with it. I'm sure that he will. He's pretty stubborn. But it's really nice to see, like, I feel like sometimes I'm in this, like, cult, or I want to start this cult of, like, yes, come to the side of not drinking. It's excellent over here. You know what I mean? I just want to, like, recruit everybody. But that's also not my business. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can't worry about... I can worry. I can be concerned, but I can't base my happiness or anything like that on somebody else's decision of whether they're going to stop drinking or be sober or whatever. I have to worry about me not drinking first and foremost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to help people, and this is what this is here for. And I'm always open for people to message me, and it's happened, which is like really nice, when people text or message me and ask me about, like, what made me want to be sober, and, like, how did I do it? That's always good, because, like, the sober curious movement is definitely getting, like, momentum, especially, I think, with people our age, because, like, it's kind of silly. I don't want to say drinking is silly, but it's just, like, the excess in which we see it done
right.
is awful.
And I think it's probably coming up more for people our age now, because we're approaching 30.
And stuff that used to fly in college doesn't fly when you're 30 years old.
Absolutely.
Like, it should be questioned in college too, but
no,
it's
absolutely
not. 100%. That's just like the culture. Mm-hmm. And people, I'm sure that there's tons of people who puked every party in college that don't have an alcohol abuse problem, but I'm sure many of them do. And, like, what flies as normal college doesn't fly as a healthy 30-year-old and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, because I see a lot of people that I care about. I see a lot of people come. I cut hair for people, so I see many people through the day, but also in an intimate fashion where we spend 20 minutes together talking and formulating relationships, whether they be just surface, you know, service person to service receiver, like, relationship, or, like, there are people that I get really close with, and I see people that I think would benefit greatly from not drinking, and it hurts me to know that they're still anchored down by it, but also, hermit meme, it's none of my business. And if I can live openly and honestly the way that I live, and you find strength or motivation from that, great. But I can't hold your hand through this. I can't make anybody do anything. No one can make anybody do anything. If people can make people make life changes like that, I would have stopped drinking years ago. You know what I mean? But it's sure. just, it's mm-hmm. not on you or me or anybody to help, to make someone else realize that they need to help themselves. Unfortunately, you know what I mean? You want to, like, save the world and you want to fix everything. But I think part of my journey, which I promised I wouldn't say anymore, but part of my journey is realizing that, like, I only have control over the decisions that I make. I don't even have control over my life. I only have control over the decisions I make and my reactions to things that happen to me.
Damn.
Damn!
Oh my god.
Dropping bombs.
That was... because it's absolutely true what you just said. That, I mean... I'm like, my jaw's hitting the floor.
I'm a genius.
But what I mean to say is that you're right, that you don't have control over your life, and that, like, if you could, I'm sure you wouldn't choose to be going through a pandemic with the rest of the world, yeah. right? Like, the circumstances that are outside of that I forget what, there's, like, a term for this, but my brain is shorting out, and
but
I can't think
of it. But I'd also like to, like, say...
what you're able to... exercise control over, like, yeah. There's a special word for that. I don't remember what it is right now.
I will like to make a note that, like, I'm a mess all the time. Not really. I'm
what
just
do you
like
mean?
I need to get my sometimes I feel like I need to get my life together. I need to, like, do better with money and stuff like that. And I've been using Corona as, like, I was just about to get on the ball and then Corona hit. That's a lie. I wasn't just about to get on the ball, but I choose to blame Corona right now.
You mean with your spending?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, well, that's different.
So you can't choose the things that happen to you, but you can choose how you deal with them, and for now, I'm blaming that. But really, I have control over my decisions.
No, absolutely.
But
you definitely
I
do.
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean...
It's hard to follow up on that one.
I was just going to say I tend to agree with what you're saying in regards to not being able to control the choices that people make. And it's so hard because you don't... I feel like there has to be some fine line of, like, you don't want to see someone struggle to the point of, like, they're nearly killing themselves, whether that means, like, they're maybe not eating enough or whatever the case is. Like, I'm just trying to think back to examples or instances that I've seen in my life of people, like, being forcibly hospitalized because of what they were enduring. Like, it was that severe. But then that takes away from everyone else's struggle in that, like, if you're not addressing it flat out with someone, it's almost like you're saying, like, well, it's bad, but not bad enough for me to say anything. And I don't know. It's hard because that conversation, I can't imagine, is an easy one. No one ever had that conversation with me. I was able to recognize that I was sick enough to need help. I don't even really like that phrasing, sick enough, because, like, what does that mean? But, like, I was struggling to a point where my life was no longer sustainable in a way that fulfilled me, and I needed support. And I think it's probably on like, the individual to say, like, the choices that I'm making to deal with something, because that's what eating disorders and alcohol and substance abuse is all about. It's about the fact that there is something internally going on for you, and not eating or drinking too much or using is the way that you have decided to, or maybe not decided, because then that implies that it's like an active choice, but I don't know, like, is the way that you are coping in that moment, and it's not effective for the sustainability and the overall quality of your life, but it's effective in that, like, it is getting you what you need to feel relief and to feel better. But it's not going to work forever, right? Because that's why people go to AA. That's why people seek help from a therapist, or seek help from support groups and things like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm going off on a...
That's okay.
on a merry-go-round of, like...
like, it's hard. Just, you...
Because you want to be there for people. I hear what you're saying, A. Like, you want to support those people. But at the same time... you have to support yourself first.
Now, also, my question about this question is, do you think it's coming from, like, she is having a hard time dealing with her friends that aren't in recovery, and she's feeling, like, triggered? Is that okay. The other way that she's coming from?
It could be. I don't know, when I was reading it, that I interpreted it that way, because, like, my brain is always like, I want to help everybody. But that's because of my perception of the letter. And this absolutely could come from a place of, I'm being triggered by people that are in my life that aren't in recovery.
That's how I interpreted the question, too.
Oh.
Let me see. A. Yeah, see, I don't know how. I hope we answered it correctly.
But let's just talk about the other perspective then.
Yeah.
because there's a very special word that I like to say when I find that I'm being triggered by someone in my life who maybe isn't seeking the help that they need, is I set...
lines in the sand.
I'm so mad at you. You changed it on me at the last minute.
Boundaries.
So that might mean maybe giving yourself physical or mental, emotional space, whatever that looks like for you, when someone is engaging in a behavior that you know, maybe I would have done this a year ago, a month ago, a week ago, a day ago. But for me today, this choice isn't... Stop that.
I dropped the pen.
This choice isn't effective for me in this moment. It's not going to lead to long-term wellness or happiness or whatever it is. So that might mean maybe you take some time off from speaking to that person, or you just kind of set that almost like I like to liken it to like a little... like a screen wall, or now in this age of pandemics and coronavirus, like a plexiglass kind of wall where you can still see that person. You recognize that they're there. You recognize that that they're struggling. But you are setting that space, that little barrier between you and that other individual, so that you can still kind of pursue your own wellness or engage in your own recovery in your own way without really taking in all of their extra stuff, you know? I don't know if that analogy made any sense at all.
And I'm going to sound really selfish, but I think part of recovery, you have to be a little bit selfish. It's like, I can't drown myself because you choose not to swim. so I can't do all the work. I can't do the work for you. So I'm not, you know, there's just some things that I needed to let go of that I know that didn't suit me in the beginning. And that's fine. And it was funny because when I was started to tell people that, like, oh, I am not drinking because I had a problem with it. A lot of people in my life, you could see, got defensive over their drinking. And this is not a statement on you. Just because you and I may have drank together does not, that me getting sober is not a reflection upon the people in my life. And I've noticed that a few of my friends have been really great. You know, my my one really good friend, she used to make me really, like, the best vodka. I don't want to sound like, ugh. But it was, like, the best vodka lemonades I've ever had. And now she just makes me the best lemonade I've ever had instead. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's nice when people are accommodating. But just because they drink doesn't mean that they have a problem. But that's just for my side. You know what I mean? That's, I think, where our journey split a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
People can still drink and not have a problem.
Yeah, no. Did I sound like...
No. I was just saying, and I was just thinking, oh, well, that's interesting, because, like, this podcast is kind of about how our journeys are fairly similar, but this is, like, one of those places where they...
Oh, okay. No, the journeys themselves. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you meant, like, my perspective of that, like, all people who drink have a problem.
No.
Which is not...
I do kind of sometimes go through that pendulum swing of, like, everyone who drinks has a problem, but that's also, like, I think sometimes just... a thought process to make myself feel better about the fact that I can't drink. And it's kind of just like one of those coping thoughts where, like, it's a problem, everyone's got a problem. But I do firmly believe that it is an addictive substance that is a drug, you know what I mean? It's just so normalized, it's fucking crazy. So crazy.
Yeah,
I hear little kids in my chair talking about going out and getting drunk. I personally never drank in high school. I was not one of those cool kids that were stealing from their parents' liquor cabinet. I wasn't, like, a goody two-shoes, just, you know, to throw
I
out
was.
There. Yeah, you were. Oh, my God. We need to do some stuff, actually.
What do you mean?
I hate to divert, but, like, you were such a goody two-shoes that I think we need to do some, like, we need to, like, steal some pumpkins or something like
no
that.
No way! Oh my we God! Those aren't my pumpkins to steal!
We should do some debauchery of some sort with you to make up for all the goody two shoedness But yeah, no, I just, like, it's weird. I'm going off on a tangent about drinking, but, like, I don't know. I drew my line in the sand with what I can deal with and what I can't. And if I can't deal with something in the moment, I take myself out. Yeah. I'm really good at taking myself out of situations. And if I can't take myself out of a situation, I freak out. Not really, but I just get, like, you know, sometimes I have to withdraw into my own world if I'm feeling uncomfortable in a place where I feel like I can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's my answer.
That's a good answer, I think. I'm biased, though, so.
Yeah, of course you are.
Well, thank you so much for writing this letter and sharing your story with us. We really commend your bravery and your honesty, and we hope that you took something from this, especially considering that you have two different interpretations of your question. So thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you. It's my turn. All right, our second question is from Alyssa.
Friend of the pod.
In New York, friend of the pod. Hey, folks. First off, you are doing such a great job with this podcast. It's a treat to listen to, and I always take something new and helpful away from each episode. Keep it up. My questions for you both are, one, what is something that your struggles with alcohol abuse or disordered eating has taken away from you? So, okay. And two, what is something that your recovery journey has given you? Thanks. Smiley face with the blushies.
Aw.
That's a pretty good question.
It is a good question.
But it's also a scary question to think back on internally and be like, what has this actually taken away from me? And then, like, you go through the list of, like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And you're like, jeez, Louise.
Mm-hmm.
My alcohol abuse has done a number of crazy things. Sorry, I'm yawning and stretching. I obviously so feel very torn up about this. I think it took away a lot for me. But I don't solely lay it on, like, the feet of alcohol. It's obviously my decisions that I've made. I've gotten myself into legal trouble. And I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I've bombed interpersonal relationships with my drinking. And it's just like, when I was drinking, I feel like I was always playing catch up with my life.
Mm.
Instead of being present and taking control of it. And I had a really hard time saying catch up and not thinking of catch up. But yeah, I always felt like I was one step behind all the time. And then if I wasn't one step behind, I was lighting the fuse of destroying everything. You know what I mean? And I've had to cope with that. I've had to cope with guilt of doing that. And I'm going to answer both parts with this. I've lost, like, literal days to just being hungover in my bed, you know? And I probably said things that I would regret if I could remember what I said to people, because I'm a loudmouth. I wouldn't exactly change anything, though, is, like, where I'm at. It's like, it is what it is, and I learned my lesson, and I'm lucky to be pretty fucking young and realizing that, like, that's not the life that I need to be living.
Mm-hmm.
And I see so many people who are way older than me in their life finally just coming around to being like, oh, yeah, maybe I should, you know, make a change. And I'm like, I'm just super grateful that I was able to figure it out very early. I lost a lot of, like, self-respect for myself with the drinking and just, like, why can't I stop? But then I gained that immediately back because it's been, like, I don't even know anymore. November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and we're almost in September. Almost 10 months of not drinking, which is the dope. So I've earned, like, a place at my table, I feel. I'm here and I'm present, and I might still have some things that I need to work on, but I'm at least here to work on them. Like, I'm the laziest person I've ever met, but now I can just enjoy being lazy and not feel like something's holding me back. Like, if I really needed to put the laundry away, I'm not too hungover to do it. I can just be like, all right, time to get off your butt and do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, the things that I enjoy, I get to truly enjoy them. Like, life is a lot nicer and better. And can you look somewhere else? And it's just, it's pretty sweet. I'm not gonna lie. So it sucked for a while, and I was doing all of these destructive things to myself. And now we're on the upswing. I'm doing things that I've always wanted to do, and I finally got to do them before COVID. Mm. And hopefully I'll be able to do those things soon, you know? Like, I got back into snowboarding. I got to do my bucket list of playing ice hockey, which is, like, something I could have never imagined myself doing. Like, if I was still drinking, the idea of not being home to drink on a Sunday or a Monday night when I'm in the city playing ice hockey, like, I would have chosen drinking over going to the city and playing ice hockey, which is insanity. You know what I mean?
No, I can speak to similar,
I would have chosen to be home, take shots, and sit on and fall asleep on the couch and not remember what I watched or said or anything. Instead of, like, going out, being active, meeting new people, and learning a new skill, and having, like, a great time, and also, like, being really bad at something. But yeah, so that's my answer. I'm passing the ball.
Oh, Sam. Oh no, I dropped it.
Oh, I hate you. This is not... This isn't an improv group.
If it were...
And you're not even supposed to say no in improv. And you said, oh no, I dropped it. It's yes and. That's their thing, yes and. You would have been like, I caught it, and now I'm passing it.
I don't know anything about improv.
That's all I know about improv.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry.
Alyssa, thank you for writing this question. Honestly, I put this off for a while because I didn't know how to answer it. I felt like there was so much that my eating disorder took away from me and so much that recovery has given me that it's really hard to narrow it down to one thing. My eating disorder definitely took away the ability to be social and enjoy social outings with my friends or family for a really long time. Earlier on in my process of I know I was seeking help at this point, but I don't think I was really applying it, if that makes sense. Like, I was like, I know that I'm sick, but how sick can I really be? So I would go to therapy every week, I'd chat with my nutritionist, but then there would be times when I wasn't really applying any of what I was taking to the outside world. So like,
yeah,
I remember one day I went out to get Thai food with some friends in my early 20s, and that's supposed to be fun, right? You go out, you get something delicious, and you're with your fucking friends. You're there with good company and good people, and you're together, and you're enjoying a meal, and you're sharing that experience together. And I was so upset because I felt really, really scared at the idea of eating socially at a restaurant. And I guess I looked that way because my friend who was sitting across the table from me was like, you're looking at that pad thai like it just murdered your family.
Oh, wow.
And in a way, I almost felt like anger.
Well, you got heavy called out.
But I think I felt angry because I was called, I don't know if it was like I'm saying called out, but like someone brought attention to that struggle. And instead of that person saying like, do you need help? Do you want to go to the bathroom and chat? Like, are you good? Like, it was almost like this accusatory, like, why can't you eat this like I can, kind of thing.
And is that how they meant it, or do you
I don't
think
know
that's how
I don't know
were...
That was probably my internal perception of that, because no friend is gonna come up to you and be like, you can't eat pad thai,
you're
schmuck.
A piece of shit.
Yeah, like, no one's gonna do that, you know. Especially someone that cares about you and loves you. But not being able to enjoy a social experience, like social eating, is something that, like, obviously I'm trying to actively change. Like, when people are like, let's go out for this, let's grab this, I'm trying not to be like, I can't do it. I'm trying to be more like, yes, okay, like, just like that Jim Carrey movie where he just like says yes to everything. Isn't that a Jim Carrey movie? I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, man.
Yes. So like, that's what I'm trying to do when it comes to social eating, is just being like, yeah, I'll do that within reason, you know. I'm not trying to like spend all my money on food all the time, even though I spent a lot of money at Trader Joe's today.
You didn't spend that much money.
That's okay.
And I still owe you money.
No, you don't have to. But the thing is, like, there are milestones in my life that like I am not gonna get back. Because time is moving forward and I'm getting older, and like for example, on my 21st birthday, and this is going to be an interesting part of the podcast, because a lot of times Maggie and I talk about our struggles with disordered eating and alcohol overuse or alcohol abuse, and I don't really speak to my struggle with like lack of alcohol use.
Oh yeah.
But that's something that has definitely affected the way my disorder manifests. So on my 21st birthday, I remember going into the city.
Sorry.
It's fine. And I was supposed to, like, go out and have a drink for your 21st birthday, right? It's the first time that you can, like, do that legally. And I went out and I think I had, like, a sip of the whatever drink I was having. I forget what I liked in my early 20s. I think it was
Hang on. Let me guess.
Oh, a Malibu Bay Breeze. That's
Damn
what it was.
Damn it. I was going to say that. And you took that chance away from me.
Sorry. But I like me a nice coconutty pink drink. But
I was
going to
say that or pina colada.
No. That's too, like, for going out, it's too heavy, I think. But I do enjoy a pina colada. I like them virgin. I don't like the rum in them. Don't know why.
Before you go and talk about, I hated rum.
Oh, well, me too.
Rum?
Sort of.
And
really.
It's just rum. Rum sucked.
Okay.
Okay, but go on.
Anyway. So what I was saying, blah, 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 I don't remember.
You were talking about how you struggled with drinking.
Oh, yes. And I definitely still, like, do. I really wish that were something that, as I'm approaching 30, I could just, like, say doesn't bother me. Like, the idea of, like, going out with friends and having wine or having a beer with, like, my pizza. You might hear some birds. They're calling outside. Is something that, like, freaks me out still now. And I need to actively work on that within reason. But I wish I could get those experiences back. Like, I wish I could celebrate, I think it was my 23rd birthday. My mom got me specialty cupcakes from a bakery I really liked. And I remember just, like, kind of massacring them because I didn't really want to eat them, but I also did. So I'm, like, kind of taking, like, little forkfuls of them and just kind of poking at them to make it look like I'm eating them, but I'm not. And it's like, bitch, it's your birthday. Like, you should be having
cupcakes. Eat the fucking cupcake.
Like, so I, that was a very long-winded answer to say that, like, I didn't, I feel like I was weirdly robbed of the experience to just eat like a normal fucking person when I go out with my friends. But I'm working on it, Avi. Like, I'm getting there. But what has recovery given me? Now I have another part of the question to answer. It's really allowed me to see diet culture for what it is, which is absolute bullshit.
Oh boy.
But it's true. And I don't know that, like, without spending hours with multiple, oh shit, I gotta chat with my nutritionist today, actually. I'm like, ooh, I gotta talk to her. Like, without spending all of this time talking to professionals who know this field, who have studied it, and who can speak to intuitive eating or food freedom and things like that. Like, I don't know that I ever would have really looked at the diet industry in a critical way, because I think it is so normal to look at it in, like, oh, well, that's, like, just what adults do, right? Like, they just don't get the food that is actually, like, what they want, because they're trying to keep weight off, or only, like, a certain group of people, right? Only, like, thin people with fast metabolisms can eat XYZ. And, like, I really, really, really like being able to view eating in a way that is totally freeing. And I told my nutritionist this a long time ago. I said, I feel like everyone in eating disorder recovery is in, like, this secret society of, like, we know that, like, it's okay to eat these foods and it should be celebrated, like, eating certain foods with your family on different occasions or whatever it is, right? Like, this is supposed to be something that's really engaging and enjoyable. And I feel like so many people are like, well, can't eat that. I can't have this. Like, they have so many limits for themselves. And even freaking, like, actual clinical nutritionists will push those ideas forth, right? To make money, or to, because that's truly how they believe eating should be. And that's not how recovery eating is. That's not how food freedom or intuitive eating is. So I really am thankful for that. And I'm also thankful. I know I don't speak to the emotional component so much with this. Like, I feel like I'm always talking about, like, the food. But I'm really happy that being on this journey has given me a chance to realize that, like, it's not totally or really ever about the food. It's more about, like, what am I dealing with right now? And there's so many moments, even within this past week, where I'm like, well, no shit, you don't feel like eating lunch today. Like, you don't know what the hell work is going to look like. Like, of course you don't want to do this. Of course you're getting nervous about this. Everything you've ever known is completely tossed in the air, and nothing has really landed yet because of, you know, the pandemic and everything else. So I'm really happy that I have had a lot of experience figuring what the hell I'm actually feeling out, like figuring that out. Because sometimes it hasn't always been that easy. So sorry if we're talking your ear off about that, but thanks for your question. We love you so much, and we're really happy that you listen to this garbage and you enjoy it.
So. It's not garbage.
I know, that's like the self-deprecating humor in me is like, I don't do anything worthwhile.
You have done a lot of embarrassing voices on this podcast. I will give it to you today. I know.
Today's been a real heavy hitter as far as the voices go.
Oh, ooh, man.
Alrighty. So with that, we're going to move on to the affirmation of the day,
which I last minute picked.
So last minute Larry over here was scrolling through her phone looking for an idea. What'd you find?
I'm stealing it. No, I know. You know what? I did do some work because during the week, if I saw something that I could use as an affirmation, I saved them on Reddit. So I wasn't just scrolling. I was scrolling through my saved.
Oh, okay.
Ma'am.
You were just narrowing down the choices that you that
sure,
you
sure. Let's go with that.
All right. What'd you got?
So it was I was between two. And I'm not sure which ones, and I usually have that whole, like, if you can't choose one, do both. But I will choose, the most recent one that I found. So I do a lot of these affirmations by scrolling through Reddit, because there are people in the world that haven't drank that are a lot more profound and smarter and more clever than I. But this one I saw, and then I thought about last week and how we both had, like, a tough week. Mm. And just the name of the post. Some days the only good thing I do is stay sober. On those days, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like it.
Especially coming from like where we were last week. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had a rough week. I was grumpy. I had a few tough days at work. I was told some stuff that really bothered me that I'm like still struggling with like just like my job and the people for whom I cut hair. Mm. But I still didn't come home and rip a shot at the bar cart. Right now, flavor of the week is Dragon Ball. So I've been self-medicating with Goku being cute. And that's, like, my drug of the week. I always have, like, a thing. That and, like, my Facebook raffles, which I am realizing, like, last week I won this huge raffle. And the feeling that I got from winning, I thought, oh, boy, I better watch it. Yeah.
It's like, I'm sliding here.
Like, if it feels this good to win, I better fucking reel it in.
Yes.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I was on... Like, I haven't felt that good in a while. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh boy. And then I realized after that day, I got into a bunch of other raffles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just like trying to chase that good feeling, which is like, that's the problem drinker in me is like, I feel good. I want some more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I said in the first episode, she's going to sneeze. She's going to blow. Oh, it's a cough. Don't worry about a cough. That's a sexy cough.
No.
But I said it in the first episode, like, there are like I'm still in the replacing stage mm-hmm. right now. And I just have to figure out like what serves me and what doesn't. And I will still participate in raffles, but I'm not going to go crazy.
I'm giving her a look like,
maybe you shouldn't participate in those raffles.
Yes, that's actually, like, that's absolutely what I look like.
But it's fun.
So are a lot of things that aren't good. If the world operated solely on the...
It feels good.
It was fine. It feels nice. It feels good. Like,
we'd be where we are right now.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so like...
No, I think that's definitely a good quote. You know why? Because it also speaks to kind of what... Weirdly, we're going back to what we were talking about at the start of the episode, that like sometimes we get so bogged down on our worth being tied to our productivity, and so much of, well, if I didn't do anything today, like, what kind of day is that? Is that a good day? Is that a bad day? I know for me, I always feel pretty bad when I don't do anything.
Not me.
But I know that if the only thing you're doing is maintaining the progress that you've made, that's a pretty good day, no matter what kind of progress it is. If you're talking about not drinking or not using or eating 3 meals a day and your allotted amount of snacks and stuff, like sticking to your meal plan, that's what I was trying to say. So like... that's a good day, right? Like, just taking care of you, if that's all you did, it's still a good day. So I really like that quote because it speaks to that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And also, if you are struggling with alcohol or abuse, and like, I don't want to like say it's okay, but like, if you slip up, that doesn't mean all of your progress is lost. Mm-hmm. Just pick that sobriety sword right back up the next day and sharpen it a little bit. Like, it's fine. It's I think that we don't allot ourselves a lot of grace or a lot of self-forgiveness, and that's like something that also needs to be worked on as well.
Yeah.
And I think if you practice more self-forgiveness, the less you'll partake in those destructive behaviors that you feel like you need to forgive yourself about.
Mm-hmm.
And I always come back, and it's so silly, but there is that SNL sketch with when Adam Sandler just hosted, where he's the Italy tour guy.
Yeah.
I think about it every day when he says incremental lifestyle changes. And that, like, watching that actually kind of changed my life. Because happiness doesn't come, like, and I'm going to ignore the whole point of the sketch. Sketch is hilarious. You should watch it. But Romano tours Italy, YouTube it. It's amazing. It's a gift. But when he says that, like, these things won't make you happy, the only thing that will make you happy is incremental lifestyle changes. And it's so true. I think about it every day. But yeah. That's it for me, dog. I'm getting real antsy, actually. Yeah,
that's it for me, too. So I think that brings us to our...
Sign off!
Maggie wants to read the whole thing, so...
Yeah, I don't know why. I just feel like doing it.
Take it away, Maggie.
You can follow us on Instagram at ShowYourselfPod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery post, and submit your recovery-related questions to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us do just that. We're really glad you listened with us today and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other.
Nice job.
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Good job. Good job listening. Actually, good job listening.
And if you're listening at work, you're doing a great job.
Yes, absolutely. We love you.
And if you're listening while laying on the couch and doing nothing, you're still doing a great job.
Still doing a great job.
Put on Dragon Ball. It's fun.